Chapter 3, The Western Edge. In the 3 intense months it took to build OMG, Kylie hardly talked to anyone except Simon and the nose-ringed tattooed baristas behind the counter at Jolt, who sullenly poured her coffees. There were two of them, but it didn't matter which one waited on her, since they all wore the same scowl as if it were a requirement for employment. Kylie waited for her oversized cappuccinos, crafted with artistic designs of hearts or teddy bears on top, as they slid them through the small space between the display of gluten-free pastry and the cash register. But Kylie's conversations with them were minimal, mostly about which muffins, which meant that in reality she didn't actually talk to anyone but Simon. Kylie liked it that way, since she was laser-focused on reviewing Simon's workflow. He'd made her ideas come alive. She even gave up the morning news. Instead, she organized her day over morning coffee and Cheerios in her small apartment. She liked making checklists on her computer of what needed to be done that day and took great satisfaction in checking each item off as complete before she fell into bed at night. Once Simon created the first prototype, OMG's potential was obvious. In record time, the program exceeded her hopes. Simon connected her platform to every conceivable database in stealth mode, so much more than the powerful fortune-telling machine she'd originally conceived. Instead of providing turn right or turn left advice as she had first envisioned, the app was capable of providing far deeper data. Its long fingers could reach into all aspects of a person or company. It was a massive spying machine, able to reach in and pull out surprising information. If knowledge was power, her knowledge machine not only had balls, it was hung. In fact, Kylie had already used it to find out some fascinating but troubling information on her parents, more than she had ever dreamed of knowing. Kylie and Simon could now see everything that was out there about anyone they chose. There had been meetings at what had become their regular high-top table in a dark corner at Jolt, where they'd reviewed designs for wireframes for the app. Simon succeeded at hacking into every major bank, as well as email accounts and cell phone records of anyone he chose, and he could retrieve scripts of texts. Afraid to leave any type of trail that could prove to be illegal, Kylie meticulously deleted any incriminating emails between them. She knew one thing for sure. OMG would need to be in the hands of the right people to accomplish good, or it could become a master tool of evil. She brooded over where to place that power bomb. While it was true Kylie wanted to make real money, it was equally important that her new platform be used to make positive changes in the world. She needed to determine how to screen its users carefully and make sure it would be used to elect statesmen rather than power-hungry creationists who would start burning books and closing abortion clinics if elected. Kylie had never considered herself a political person, but was horrified at climate change or losing her right to choose should it ever come to that. OMG empowered her. Maybe she did have a chance to save the world by helping someone get elected who could make a difference. Well, she would have a part in shaping a world where she wanted to live. In the past months of building OMG, there had been umpteen unreturned voicemails and texts from each of her parents, who evidently were about to call missing persons. Kylie finally responded to a text from her father. "Are you dead or alive?" Kylie texted, "Alive." That singular word led to the dinner date she was about to be late for unless she left her apartment within the next 2 minutes. As usual, she was starving. At least she would get a good meal. There was only so much ramen a person could eat. Reluctantly, she shut her laptop and checked her reflection in the mirror on her bedroom door. Her black turtleneck jeans and boots would do. Kylie threw on her woolen pea coat and gray watchman's cap to hide all but the blonde ends of her dirty shoulder-length hair. Since there had been no time or money for salons, she promised herself new highlights when she made her first sale on OMG. Until that happened, she would have to live with looking like a mutant skunk. She had been snipping at her two-tone bangs when they began to fall below her eyes, leaving a jagged, mostly chestnut-brown fringe hovering over her eyelashes. She'd hardly worn makeup for months, so that wasn't even a thought. Already late, she speed-walked across the Boston Common to Park Street. Breathless, she ran down the steps in the station to transfer to a Red Line train and boarded just before it closed its doors. Kylie dreaded the conversation and rode the two short stops, considering how to respond to her parents' inevitable questions. Since her self-imposed silence with her parents, this was going to be their first actual conversation in months. So out of practice with communicating with them, if she could ever call what normally transpired as communication, she might as well have been attending a silent meditation retreat. After a brisk walk through Kendall Square, she reached the Western Edge, a trendy new restaurant nestled in a courtyard among similar upscale eateries on Hampshire Street. Her parents were already seated at a table, drinks in hand, anxiously monitoring the door. But Kylie waved and headed for the table, cringing inside, knowing how they would undoubtedly grill her about her life, especially her finances. Well, she had selected that bistro precisely for its function of insulation by sound. The space was beautiful, with white-painted brick walls, a wide plank wooden floor, and 20-foot ceilings with exposed beams. But it was an acoustical disaster. Conversations bounced off the bricks, blending into an unrelenting roar. A possible confrontation would not be easily overheard. Perfect. The first half of the meal went better than Kylie expected. From across the table, her parents yelled their innocuous inquiries about her apartment and her health. Next, they asked if she had met anyone, specifically meaning someone who could support her in the type of lifestyle her parents enjoyed, country clubs, sailboats, and travel. Kylie fielded their questions from her arsenal of vague replies, but she knew it was just a warm-up and would inevitably lead to the dreaded question. Her mother stabbed a piece of lettuce with her fork, lowered her photo graze down her nose, gave Kylie the look, and shouted over the din, "So how's your job hunt?" Kylie regarded her grilled salmon artistically stacked on a bed of spinach and quinoa and cut a bite. She dangled her fork midair as her mother's steely eyes held her speechless. "Answer your mother, baby," prodded her father, taking a sip from his third glass of scotch as he waited. "Okay, here we go. As I've been telling you, I'm not looking for a job. I'm developing a simple app, and it's going very well, thank you." To prevent a barrage of questions from flying out at her like bats in a barn, Kylie decided to call it an app to her parents. That was vague and trendy. Plus, it sounded more innocuous than saying she was building a far-reaching and robust database program called OMG, able to hack into banks, phone records, and email accounts. Her father's forehead creased as he thoughtfully cut his steak. He took his time and drained his glass before speaking. "Baby, beloved daughter of mine, that's fine. You've designed this new app. Trust me, we're thrilled. You're such an entrepreneur. But how are you paying for this project? Never mind supporting yourself. As far as I can tell, you have no income. Get yourself a job and you can design this app thingamabob in your spare time. You have an MBA from Harvard, for God's sakes. Didn't they teach you anything? Businesses take money." Kylie's salmon suddenly tasted like a wad of paper. What a waste of a good meal. She gave him a sour look. "I'm very aware of that." "Answer your father." Her mother's buffed fingertip pushed her glasses back up the bridge of her nose, obscuring her eyes. "I just did. Look, I'm fine," Kylie snipped, already formulating her exit lines. "What was that?" boomed her dad. "I'm fine," she yelled. "You wonder why I don't call you? Maybe if you'd stop grilling me, I might want to talk." Allison's thin lips clamped together, deepening the closed parentheses at the sides of her mouth. "What do you expect us to do? We're concerned. You're using your trust fund, aren't you? And what happened to that other app you designed in grad school?" A lock of her chestnut bob inched over her high cheekbone as she shook her head back and forth, looking as sad as if Kylie just told her she had terminal cancer. "I pivoted to a better idea, that's all. Look, don't worry. It's my money. In case you haven't noticed, I'm an adult. I don't need to answer to you. Why can't you leave me alone? You're always poking around in my life. But it is my life, not yours. Kylie looked up at the exposed wooden beams on the ceiling, choosing her words. Although her parents always said that they loved her, she wondered. If they did, they'd leave her alone when she needed time and space, and be there for her when she truly needed them. Her hope had always been they might have the smallest clue about who she really was and what she was really trying to do. So far, she'd been disappointed. The ceiling held no answers. There were no words to make them understand what she was doing, let alone get them to approve. In a rare fatherly display, David reached over and squeezed Kylie's hand, resting on the table. His fingers felt warm as they covered Kylie's more delicate hand. "Baby, we just want to make sure you're okay. You know we love you. If you blow your money, that's it. We had hoped you might have it to buy a house one day or use it for when you have children. Unfortunately, what with the recession, I'm not able to support you anymore. I told you everything's fine, and I don't want children. Could both of you please leave me alone?" She withdrew her hand to her lap, remembering how many drinks he had. At one, he was fine. At two, congenial. At three, sappy. She appreciated that at three drinks he was at his most emotional state, but Kylie hoped to be long gone before number four, when nasty would kick in. "It's okay to take your time, but never say never," he mused. "You're young, and I'll bet you'll change your mind someday. I know your mother would love to have grandchildren." Kylie rolled her eyes. "Yes, since she's such a natural and wonderful mother." Allison scowled. "What exactly is this app, or whatever it is you're doing? What's it called, by the way?" "It's called OMG. Just wait until next month, and I can demo it for you. I think you'll find it pretty amazing." "What does it do? And why did you call it OMG? What is that?" asked David. "It stands for Oh My God." David's features curled in puzzlement. "Is this some sort of religious thing? I thought you had no use for religion." "Dad, OMG is just an expression. It has nothing to do with religion. You'll see." "You still haven't told us what it does," said her mother. "You'll have to wait. I promise you will be amazed. I'll show it to you soon." Kylie had tested OMG, querying the app using her parents' names, and felt astounded to learn her father, who had always pleaded near destitution when she asked for money, did in fact have a multi-million-dollar stock portfolio and a Swiss bank account. She was also shocked to discover her mother was having an affair with a partner at her law firm, and had written some surprisingly juicy emails that made Kylie blush as well as feel nauseous. So much for their self-righteous indignation. If they kept cornering her, she might consider giving them a demonstration they wouldn't forget. Then it would be their turn to squirm and make excuses. Kylie could picture her mother paling under her high-end, age-defying makeup, and both of them denying all of it until Kylie proved it with a jaw-dropping demo right after Thanksgiving dinner. Payback time for making her live by their rigid rules and the boarding school life that imposed upon her. Not that Kylie had not adjusted, even thrived, but it would have been nice to have a home where she felt loved for who she was, instead of one in which the very air smelled of their impossible expectations, where the dollar sign governed any sentiment. All she ever wanted was for them to see her and to love her. Already, OMG had proven invaluable to Kylie, showing her parents were the hypocrites she suspected they were all along. It explained a lot, and she was only beginning to grasp OMG's power. She didn't think she could gain their love with it, but it would certainly make them respect her. Still, she couldn't picture her mother with another man. And her poor father. The thought of her mother's infidelity hurt Kylie's heart. But her mother had also been hurt. All of the time she wanted to take family trips, and her father denied them, preferring to sit in his den with a bottle of scotch. "Poor all of them," she let out a sad sigh, wishing she could make everything right and they could start over as a family. "Why the big sigh?" asked her father. Kylie shrugged. "No reason. I've just been working hard. I have to say I'm intrigued," he said, Still won't give us even a hint? Sorry, but no. Let's just say OMG's a game changer. It does sound intriguing, commented her mother. Then mercifully, Allison changed the subject. What do you think about the election? She inquired. I met Bill Reinstadt at a bar association dinner where he spoke. I have to say, I'm impressed. Reinstadt had some good ideas for the economy and the environment, and I think he's a young man who's going somewhere. Kylie felt grateful to her mother for bringing up the new subject, especially this topic, since she had also been following him. So far, she admired what she heard. What's he like? I'll tell you what he's like, interrupted her father, with a scowl on his face. He's another one of those know-it-all liberals who isn't going to get anything done except raise taxes just like the rest of them. His complexion deepened to the color of his rare steak. He caught the eye of the waitress, pointed to his empty glass of scotch, sat back in his chair and folded his arms over his ample belly, anticipating his fourth drink. David, stop. That's not necessary, her mother shook her head in disgust. You might try keeping an open mind. Kylie was always amazed how they wound up together since their politics were so different. She held up a finger to make a point. Remember when I was an undergrad and was really into Khalil Gibran? There's this quote that you should hear. In fact, I think you should memorize it. She recited the whole thing while David blankly stared at her. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. What did you say? Yelled David. Kylie glared at him. You heard everything else I said. David turned to Kylie and patted her shoulder. Fine. Look, if working with this guy will make you happy, then okay. Hopefully it will lead to a paying job. I'll keep my big mouth shut. Thanks, David, said Kylie, surprised. That's a great idea. Allison turned to Kylie. Lovely we had an English major in the family. It comes in handy, evidently. Well, glad you can mellow your father. At least part of your education is paying off. As far as Reinstadt, sorry to say, I didn't get to say more than hello. He seemed pleasant enough, and from his policies, he appears to be very smart and very good-looking. He had an entourage of women lining up to meet him. That's a winning combination in politics. Suddenly, Kylie was absorbed in the conversation with her parents, maybe for the first time in years, or maybe in her entire life. She had been following Bill Reinstadt and was pretty wooed by him. He was the only candidate she had ever heard of who had some viable-sounding solutions on how to solve problems like creating jobs. He was running for a Senate seat, and Kylie knew enough from her economics classes in college to understand what Reinstadt suggested made sense. Everyone must give a little, and people, even corporations, must play by the rules. He was a guy who might be able to save the country if he ever got elected. Kylie thought he was not only a statesman, but a champion for the world, and possibly could even be president. He was exactly the kind of candidate she could get behind, the medicine the country needed to heal. He'd be like JFK or FDR. As far as she could tell, Reinstadt seemed to be exactly the type of person she would want to use OMG. She just needed to be sure. Of course, if Reinstadt was a rule follower, he might not want to use it at all. But Kylie suspected being a politician, he could be Machiavellian enough to see getting elected to do some good would justify using a powerful tool to ensure his getting there. Once he got elected, OMG could provide the facts that would create realistic ways to influence legislation so he could accomplish something important. If Reinstadt was the man Kylie hoped he was, he would use this information wisely. Do you know anyone who could introduce me? Now what are you up to? Her father's eyes bulged with wild alarm. Is my apparently independently wealthy daughter going to become a Rheinstadt volunteer, or are you going to line up to be one of his women? Either way, I think this is the last thing you need. He threw his club tie over his shoulder for emphasis. Dad, calm down. Trust me. I have no interest in dating Rheinstadt. That is so ridiculous. I do like his politics. Kylie turned to her mother. Well, do you know someone? Amused, Allison scrutinized Kylie. I could certainly get you a contact number, but you could probably get it from his website. Okay, fine. I'll do that. Just be careful, Kylie, said her mother. You're an attractive young woman and very impressionable. I don't want to see anyone taking advantage of you. I can take care of myself. Don't worry. Besides, you like him too. Kylie excused herself after their plates from their entrees were removed from the table and her father was well into his fourth scotch. Thanks for dinner. I have a ton of work. I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks at Thanksgiving. Remember what I told you, warned David. How could I forget? Thanks for all the advice. Kylie quickly kissed her parents' cheeks before bolting to the door. Outside, Kylie exhaled billows of condensation while putting on her gloves. She could not even remember such a cold November. The solitary roses remaining on the bushes outside some of the buildings were defiantly hanging on, but looked forlorn and not long for the wintry world. She headed up Hampshire Street to Maine, where she passed the monolithic buildings similar to Visiozyme housing other biotech and technology companies. When she reached Kendall Station, she descended the steps to take the red line. Bill Rheinstadt stayed on her mind. She couldn't stop thinking about the man who would be a perfect fit for OMG. If she could get him elected, she would become his trusted advisor, a solid brick in the foundation of his team, and it would be a giant step in her career. But first, she needed to learn more to make sure she wanted to support him. At Park Street, she climbed the stairs to the Green Line platform and caught the first train to Copley. From there, she strolled down Dartmouth Street. Even though it was still a week before Thanksgiving, the twinkling white lights were already wrapped around the trees from the roots to the branches, lighting up the Commonwealth Mall and making it look like a fairyland. Once settled in her tiny apartment, Kylie immediately opened her laptop, sitting on the kitchen table, doubling as her desk. She found Rheinstadt's website, a predictable red, white, and blue affair. No surprises there. Her mother was right. He certainly was handsome. His close-up photo smiled back at her as he stood in front of a waving flag, his ultramarine eyes twinkling. Kylie logged into the OMG development site. It was still only bare bones with simple text boxes and no graphics, but she knew it was functional enough to give her the information she needed. She typed Bill Rheinstadt into the Find Info field and searched financials, personal relationships, religion, politics, and connections. Then she waited for OMG to do its magic. Within minutes, the app generated a report. She was excited to read. Rheinstadt was 42, a college football star at Newton South with a business major at BC, a graduate of Harvard Law, and a state representative who succeeded in some education reform in the Boston schools. There were other common knowledge facts she just noted on his website. Comfortable, but not wealthy. He had received a sizable war chest from the DNC for his Senate race and some interesting contributions from pharmaceutical companies. Aha! What puzzled Kylie was personal data. He had a long-term relationship with Emily Wickland, owner of a Boston PR firm, Making Faces. They were together for 8 years, which made Kylie wonder why they never married. She looked for some sparks when OMG brought up their emails and texts, but the messages to each other were dull. Pick you up at 8, looking forward to seeing you later. Well, Kylie wondered if this was the sort of thing that happened after 8 years, or if they had more of a friendship. He was from a large Catholic family and appeared to be very well connected in Boston's political tapestry. His email inbox included notes from the mayor and top state and national committee heads. He had received 2 speeding tickets over the past decade, but nothing much of interest in that department. Kylie speed dialed Simon from her pathetic list of only 4 names. One was her mother, one was her father, one was Megan, her old college roommate, who she should call one of these days, and the other was Simon. "Hey," he answered. "Hey, I just searched Bill Reinstadt and got some info, but I'm curious about him. I want more." "Oh, you mean the guy who's running for Senate?" "Yeah, him. I'm curious why he never married his girlfriend, Emily Wickland, and I'm wondering about some political contributions he received from pharmaceutical companies. Can you see what you can find out?" There was silence, but he finally agreed with an odd hesitation in his voice. "Which companies? I saw one from Genzyme and Biomed. I'm wondering if there was one from Visiozyme." "Why? What do you care?" "I'm just nosy, I guess. I don't know. This is probably unrelated to anything, but still, it sort of intrigues me since your boss was murdered." "What are you now, a private detective?" "No, I think he's an honest guy, and I want to validate that fact." "Okay, fine. If you want, I'm on it." "You're good, Simon." "Yeah, I know. Can I say something?" "What?" "So, I think if you keep nosing around in people's lives, it's just going to get you into trouble." "This from you? Aren't you the super hacker?" "Yes, but OMG was your idea, I'm just saying." He was agreeable enough, but there was his hesitation and an odd edge in his voice, making her feel uneasy.